and welcome to the Podcast of the Damned. I'm your host, Ian. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Nico. Nico, are you going to remember this episode?
I hope so.
So, would you like to... I was actually unaware of how ill... How you were actually feeling during the fight, the last episode we recorded on Innocent Blood. Do you want to just update our listeners on what's been going on? Because you told the story. You told the story of what happened last week. But you didn't actually... obviously, it's been a while since we recorded that.
Well, so I concussed Bissell, and it's like the longest concussion I've had in a very, very long time, put it
that way. And how much of last week's recording can you remember?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Which might explain some of the out there opinions you were expressing, Nico.
Like, what did I do?
Well, you know what? I've got a funny feeling that you're going to have the same opinion. But you were basically expressing the opinion that you think Innocent Blood is better than An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah. But that's because it's got, like, nostalgic memories.
I'm really ridiculously unhappy that you're sticking by that opinion. So, we put a poll out. I said on the last episode that we put a poll out as well.
Okay.
Asking which the better movie was. Was it An American Werewolf in London? Was it Innocent Blood? We had, like, I think, 60, 70 responses, something like that. And 96% of people agreed with me that An American Werewolf in London is a better movie. And 4% of people agreed with you, Nico.
But how much of that people that said they preferred it had actually watched Innocent Blood?
Does it matter?
You can't really say what's better than if you had a Nico. No, you can't! that's like saying, I like cheese and I like hot dogs. But I've never had hot dogs, so cheese is better.
Cheese is better.
Well, yeah, it is, but that's not why I was saying it. I'm saying it because...
Anyways, you're just salty...
You've got to compare the two.
You're just salty that I'm right, as always, and you're wrong.
Hey.
Well, have you watched...
I'm in a select group of fans, put it that way.
Yes, you are. Have you watched anything horror-related this week?
I watched this movie.
Okay.
I watched A Little Evil as well.
Oh yeah, okay, that's cool. Anyways, we are a horror podcast that deep dives into a different topic every single week in our quest to create a leaderboard of the best and worst horror movies of all times. This is episode number 43, and in today's show we're talking about the 2002 movie Resident Evil. This is one that I've been kind of excited to talk about for a little while, to be honest with you.
I know you have, because you suggested this since pretty much the start, but never got around to it.
Yeah, well, this is just a movie that I've never, ever reviewed on any of my shows that I've done. So, you know, what have I been podcasting now for? About 3 years? And I've never, ever broached this this movie. And I feel like there's probably quite a bit to talk about with it, so I'm really excited about it. But... we'll get there. If you would like to support this podcast, you can do so across our social medias. We're on Twitter at Damned Podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We're on TikTok at Podcast of the Damned. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Pod of the Damned, where you can sign up from just £1 a month. And if you would like to send us any of your stories, thoughts, opinions on anything that we talk about, anything that's movie related, or just anything at all, really, you can send us those emails, podofthedamned@gmail.com. Nico, where can people find you on the socials?
You still there?
Where can people find you, Nico?
On Facebook.
On Facebook. There you go. Join our Facebook page. Nico's on there. That's all your gang. Before we get into some discussions about this movie, we put out a prediction contest on our Twitter page. Basically, so we're asking our listeners, Nico, in this episode, how many times we will swear during the course of the episode. I am sitting here with a counter on my phone, ready and willing to go. And so we're going to count up how many times to swear, and the person who made the closest guess will get a shout out on next week's episode. So we've got quite a few responses to that as well. And some people are suggesting very, very low numbers. Some people are suggesting very, very high numbers. Some people are saying a number with a decimal place, and I'm not quite sure how that works.
So now this is the question. What do you deem as a swear word?
Well, fuck.
That's one then.
Right, okay. What else, Nico? What other swear words?
Well, you know, it ranges from shit to fuck, or even cunt. You know what I mean?
I would classify all of those. I would classify all of those.
Shit's not a swear word, surely.
Shit's a swear word.
Not really.
I think the only things we're not really classifying as is those are swear words that, like, Americans class, like, really Christian Americans class as, like, swear words. So God's not a swear word. Damn's not a swear word. Hell's not a swear word. But fuck.
God damn.
But fuck, piss, shit, and cunt are all swear words.
Why do we ever say piss? You just wanted to throw that in there.
I did. It was just another swear word, though, isn't it? And can I tell you that one person is already incorrect and has guessed too low for the number of swear words?
See, we shouldn't start it until we've decided what the swear words are.
No, no, it was the entire episode, Nico.
The entire episode.
The entire episode. So one person has already guessed too low. Sorry.
You're just a cockwomble. That's what you are.
That's one, right?
Yeah.
The other bit of business that we've got to do before we get into the episode, obviously, Nico, as always, you have to make your predictions. Where do you think Resident Evil is going to come on our leaderboard? This is the 41st movie that we have covered on the show.
So I think it'll hit probably about a 7, 7.5.
Oh, so you think it's going to hit quite high then? That would put it around anywhere between 13th and 19th.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, go for that.
Okay. All right, well, we'll get into it. So shall we just talk about it then?
Go for it.
Okay, in today's show, we are talking about Resident Evil.
Deep underground, in a top secret research lab, security has been breached. A deadly virus capable of contaminating the entire world has been released.
Oh my god.
We have to get out of this building.
Who's that?
It's the brakes!
Okay, we're here to help.
Now, an elite team has been sent in to stop it.
5 hours ago, Red Queen went homicidal.
Who's the Red Queen?
State-of-the-art artificial intelligence.
The corporation's keeping a few secrets down here.
But they have only 3 hours left before it begins infecting and mutating the whole human race.
Everyone stay calm.
You have to get out.
Don't listen to anything she says. She's a holographic representation of the Red Queen.
Maybe our only way out of here.
How is she still standing?
She isn't standing now.
Evil.
You're all going to die down here.
This movie was released in 2002, was directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, stars Mia Jovovich. I can never say her name properly. Honestly, I practiced that so much. Mila Jovovich, Michelle Rodriguez, and James Purefoy. The IMDb plot is as follows. A special military unit fights a powerful, out-of-control supercomputer and hundreds of scientists who have mutated into flesh-eating creatures after a laboratory accident. Tagline for this movie, they're pretty shit, to be honest. Survive the horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a secret experiment, a deadly virus, a fatal mistake.
It should have just been called Scared of Doors.
yeah, something like that. Obviously, for those, most people who followed this podcast for a really long time knows that I'm a massive gamer. Nico, you're a big gamer too. I'm assuming growing up as a younger Nico, you played the Resident Evil video games.
I played with Alice on many occasions.
Well, did you though in the Resident Evil games? Because I don't think you did.
What's her fucking name again?
Do you mean you played with Jill on many occasions?
Yeah, that's what I meant to say, sorry.
Because of
it's
course,
been a while.
Because, of course, you really, really didn't show yourself off as a gamer there, did you?
It's in Valentine that's the main one. Yeah, I forgot. Shut up, right?
Because, obviously, for this movie, and I think this is probably one of the biggest criticisms that a lot, especially of the video game fans, have in this movie, is that they created an entire new cast of characters for the movie that were not related to any of the video games whatsoever.
Yeah, it wasn't until like the third one that Valentine came in, was it?
I think Jill Valentine shows up in two.
Is it two?
I think she's in the second one, yeah.
No, okay.
She's the one who's fighting the Nemesis.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
Because she's one of the stars. And it's only in the second one that they really start bringing in some of the aspects from the video games. And that was a massive misstep, right?
Yeah. Like, the thing is, right, as I said, it made you terrified at doors because you didn't know what the fuck was coming next, right? And there wasn't really that suspense in this movie.
There wasn't, ever at all. And, you know, like, I don't mind so much that they messed with the storyline a little bit, although that did also bug me, because let's be real, by the time this movie came out, you had so many multiple different versions of the Resident Evil timeline. There's so much source material that you can go off. Now, obviously, as a film, not everything that works in a video game is going to work in a movie, and not, you know, and we've talked about that before, you know, not everything that works in a book is also going to work in a movie, and vice versa. Yeah. You're going to have to make some sort of creative choices and creative changes. But they went so out of the box and wide of the mark for what the classic Resident Evil storylines actually are, that it completely, for me, alienated so many of the original Resident Evil fandom.
Yeah. Like, it was... I remember when we went to see this, there was folk going... Yeah, that they could have just called it something else. Basically, like what I used to say about Child's Play.
in this instance, you're actually right.
I was right about the other one. It's fine.
You were not.
So, I was.
You weren't. You weren't, because the protagonist was still the antagonist. Sorry, and because Child's Play was still Chucky.
No, it was a ghost in the shell called Chucky. Oh. It wasn't. It wasn't actually Chucky. It was a robot, not a voodoo king.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But no, but I agree with you in this instance. Despite, aside from the fact that this has got zombies in it, and can I just say, some of the zombies in this film are pretty pathetic.
And when you see the special effects now, fuck me, they have not aged well.
Oh, it was specifically for me, it was the final sort of boss fight with the liquor. Where... The special effects were really pants. And then you know when he like falls through the train and catches fire?
Yeah, the fire bit was the worst.
The fire was horrendously... Now, I get that it's 2002. However, again, you know, we've seen movies come before this with far superior CGI. And given
I'm not being a dick, there was no need for the CGI fire. And that's the worst bit of that whole
thing.
Yeah,
like, it could have just, like, rolled off not on fire, and the effect would have been the same, right? Because it's not surviving that.
Or even just have a fire in front of them and have the thing fall into the fire so you could not see it for fire.
Yeah, rather than having this thing catch fire and having it look absolutely horrendous, because it looked awful.
There was like one bit where it grabs the wall and the claw marks on the wall weren't where it grabbed on the wall, and I remember laughing at that bit. I'm like... That was where its thumb was, not the fingers, but okay.
Well, the thing that sort of bothers me about this as well is because it's, obviously it's Paul W.S. Anderson, and we've covered one of his movies before on this podcast. Actually, you know what? I don't think you have, because it was Event Horizon. You weren't on the Event Horizon episode, were you?
Yeah, I wasn't on for that one.
So, you know, we've talked about one of his movies in like a really high... You know, we rated that really, really well.
It's a very, very good movie.
Now, I'm just sort of having a look here through his sort of directing credits. Now, obviously, he did do Mortal Kombat in 1995, which...
Which I actually liked.
We talked about that on, like, an old Patreon, right?
Yeah.
Who did that. And yeah, you were quite fun. Then he went on to do Event Horizon, which is a really great film. He did a couple other things in between that and Resident Evil. But then 2 years after Resident Evil, he did Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah, like I was looking forward to that so much, and it was just such a disappointment.
Yeah, so he's had a very up and down career, and I think that's probably me being relatively generous.
Like, one of the worst ones is Death Race.
Death Race, which he did in 2008. So that's...
But did he not do the follow-ups as well, and they just get steadily worse?
Of Resident Evil. He didn't do all of them, I think. He did Afterlife, Retribution, and the final chapter, but I think there's another couple in there.
Oh, okay.
There's like seven of them or something.
Fuck knows, I stopped counting.
I mean, I've not watched the entire franchise.
I've watched all of them, but I do like the newest one is my favourite out of all of them.
Well, welcome to Raccoon City, which we will be covering relatively shortly on the podcast. We are going to be talking about that movie. I'm not including in the franchise in terms of this franchise, because obviously it's nothing to do with these sets of movies that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right, that's fine. Just so we're clear, when we're talking about the franchise, we're not talking about Welcome to Raccoon City.
So what's your favourite one out of the franchise?
Oh, this one. But that doesn't mean that I think this one's good. It's just the best of what is, quite frankly, a pretty horrific bunch of films. I think this whole franchise is utter trash.
Yeah. See, the one I like the best is where they get stuck on the roof and they're coming to get them on the roof. That's quite cool, I thought.
They've all completely merged of the ones I've seen, so I do not... I literally have no clue which one's which. So you can sit there and tell me that this, the one that's got this is the best one. Unless it's this first one, I won't have a fucking clue what you're talking about.
I think it's like the third or fourth one. I also like the one where they go into the simulation of Russia. That's quite cool.
There's one where they go into a simulation in Russia?
No, it's like a simulation of Russia. Like they go into like a... It's all different like cities underground. So there's like one that's meant to be Moscow, one that's meant to be like Tokyo. Like, all this... It's fucking weird.
It's like how, so, in The Hive, in this movie, they like, superimpose the outside world, and that's apparently supposed to be, like, San Francisco or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Sort of, yeah. Like, it's like they're running simulations of how the zombie will take over that place.
Oh, right, okay. I see what you mean. To be quite honest with you, Nico, it sounds horrendous.
it's quite bad, but it's a cool concept. That's what I think.
Yeah, cool. I just mean, like, knowing what I know about this franchise, I'm essentially guaranteeing that it absolutely did not get pulled off.
Yes, it didn't. It did not.
So one of the things that this movie, and a talking point that this movie kind of brings up, because, you know, it's something that we often talk, and other podcasts often talk about, is sort of like the value of remakes and reboots, and, you know, should we be doing remakes of old movies and reboots? But this movie kind of brings up the talking point, well, how about video game to movie adaptations? Because there's quite a lot of them out there, and there's quite a lot of them coming up. And we'll get to the ones coming up in a minute, because I've got a list of them, because I kind of want to go through the list and find out which ones you are and aren't excited for. It's not a definitive list, but it's just like the pick of the bunch.
I can tell you my favourite straight away that I love the idea of. They're redoing Mario Brothers again.
Well, thank you, Nico, for just ruining the... No, I'm joking. as in the old horrendous Mario Bros. Movie.
So they're not doing... They're actually doing a game version instead of like the movie version with Bob Hoskins.
Okay, because Mario Bros. Is... Because I've got a list of a couple that I think are okay or good, and I've got a list of a few that I think are horrific, and Super Mario Bros. Obviously is on the horrific list.
Yeah, hence me thinking that it will be the better one coming out.
So you're going along the lines of, it can't be any worse.
Pretty much. Okay. Because they were saying they're going to make it like what the story was meant to be, instead of like that weird post-apocalyptic fucking weird shit that happened last time.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I'll go through some games that are out and have been turned, and you can let me know what you think of them. And then I'll go through some of the ones that are coming up. So we've got the Assassin's Creed movie.
I quite liked that, and everyone slated it.
I've not seen it, so I can't comment. But you think it's all right?
It's quite cool the way that they were doing all like kills and stuff in it, and it's a unique way of doing it, I thought.
Okay.
Sonic, I'd recommend it.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
See, I wasn't really that big a Sonic fan anyway.
Yeah, I you know what, I liked it. I thought Jim Carrey was really good.
I thought he was good, but everything else was just shit.
No, I quite enjoyed it. I think it was alright. I
thought Sonic was annoying. I thought the guy that was supporting him, the copper boy, was just, you just wanted to punch him in the face.
Well, okay, what about Street Fighter?
Which one?
Jean-Claude Van Damme and Kylie Minogue.
Oh, Jesus, no.
No?
But the manga one is fucking epic.
The Jean-Claude Van Damme one is the epitome of so bad it's good.
See, we've talked about this, and I'm still on the fence.
No, I'm
still
right.
On the fence.
No, there's only
one thing worth watching it for, not coked up. Exactly, it's not coked up Jean-Claude Van Damme who's bugging Kylie, is it? You know what I mean? It's fucking like, spoiler alert.
Okay.
Kyle fucks Gabby.
Okay. Silent Hill.
I like that one.
I really like Silent Hill. I think Silent Hill is a far superior movie, which is interesting because, you know, I think a lot of gamers were the same. It was Silent Hill or Resident Evil. That's kind of what you were into, right? You were a gamer. And for me, I was always, as a kid, a Silent Hill gamer. I loved Silent Hill. Silent Hill 2 was the game that really, really sort of triggered my obsession with horror and horror gaming. And, you know, obviously it's a little bit disappointing what's happened to that franchise from a games perspective. Now, we do apparently have another Silent Hill movie coming from the director who directed Silent Hill. Because Silent Hill Revelations, which was the sequel, was god fucking awful. But Silent Hill itself, I think, is a really fucking solid movie. I really like that film.
I like the first one, yeah. You're right enough, the second was goddamn awful. But that was weird, because I preferred the Resident Evil game, but I hated the movie more than the Silent Hill movie, if that makes sense.
You preferred playing Resident Evil over playing Silent Hill, but you prefer Silent Hill the movie over the Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, what about Alone in the Dark?
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Don't. It's horrendous. It's one of the worst films you will ever see.
Really?
Yes, it's that bad. Okay, here's some stuff that's coming up. Obviously, you've already mentioned Super Mario Bros. Is coming up. We've got a Gears of War film, Untitled, coming up.
See, I love Gears of War, but unless you've got somebody like The Rock playing the main character, stick up your arse.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you get The Rock playing the main character, are we just not going to end up with another Doom?
Not really, because Doom was just fucking goddamn awful and The Rock wasn't that good an actor at the time. He's actually decent now, you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Okay, we've got a Five Nights at Freddy's movie coming up. Now, my problem with that is we've essentially had one of them with Willy's Wonderland.
See, I never played it, so I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. Willy's Wonderland is essentially Five Nights at Freddy's. You know, it's just my point. We've got a Metal Gear Solid movie coming up. I am stoked.
Well, it's basically just a Snake Plissken, is it?
Well, Metal Gear Solid is probably one of my favourite game franchises of all time.
Don't get me wrong, great franchise, but was it not based on Snake Plissken?
Yes.
So, it's just a movie of a game based on Escape from New York.
Yes.
I
fail to see where there's an issue here.
Unless Kurt Russell's doing it, I'll be most upset.
I mean, Kurt, Nico, you can't just no. Stop, I'm not even going to talk about that with you anymore because you're just upsetting me. We've got a Saints Row movie coming apparently as well.
Why? It's just the reason I put that. Why? Like, don't get me wrong, the GTA movies would probably be good, but Saints Row, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few others there as well, but obviously we've talked about this for a little while. But I think all in all, I hate to say it, there's been a lot more terrible adaptations of video games than good ones.
Yeah.
And even the good ones, none of them are absolute classics, are they? Like, we're sitting there, we like Silent Hill, but we're never ever going to be like, oh, Silent Hill's up there with like the top 10 greatest movies of all time.
Pretty much.
Okay. Okay, so we go back to Resident Evil then. Now,
but you missed out the worst of all the like video game movies,
which is
Warcraft.
Oh,
you also missed out another one.
Yeah.
Tomb Raider, which is actually decent.
Well, I was going to put in Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is written down here, but we'd been talking about it for a while, so I just sort of skipped over it. Warcraft, I just have erased from my memory.
That is awful. That is like, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking with that.
It is a horrifically terrible movie.
I think they were just thinking, oh, they'll pay for this. They pay for the toys.
Yeah,
and it didn't work.
It didn't work, and that's us being probably quite kind.
Yeah,
that's fair. Okay, we'll go back to Resident Evil then, because there's one scene, and I think no matter how much you either love or hate Resident Evil the movie, there's one scene that sort of is universally liked, right? And I think you'll know what scene this is.
Yeah, the lasers.
The laser room. The laser corridor is easily, by far and away, one of the best things about this movie, right?
Yeah. But it's just the way the parts fall off as well, and you're like, it's quite cool.
The CGI in this part of the film is actually decent.
Yeah.
And
I think they spent all the budget on that one bit, and then just like, fuck it with the rest.
They certainly didn't spend it on the Red Queen.
No. She, like, I'm not being a dick. How easy would it have been just to have a kid standing there with a light shining on them? You know,
literally,
I mean, it would have looked better than this.
Actually, it probably would have looked better. Yeah, you could have just put like a filter over the top, like just have the girl stand there and put like a filter over the top of her.
Exactly.
But yeah, the laser room, I think, obviously also contributes to half the kills in this movie. In the space of, what, 2 minutes? And it kills off one of the characters that we think is actually going to be in it for a little bit longer, which is One, which is the character's name, and played by Colin Salmon, sorry, I forgot his name, played by Colin Salmon, who's sort of like the leader of this military group. He dies off here, yeah. But I have a major issue with his death. Major issue with his death.
Why?
Because if he had taken one step backward,
he'd be fine, yeah.
He'd been fine. There was a solid, like, 5 or 6 feet of space behind him.
Yeah.
And
like, he could have fell backwards and just lost his toes.
Not even that. He could have just taken 3 steps back and been completely fine.
Not even 3.
I know.
Genuinely, yeah. It's
but, bad. Like, if you're in that situation, right, the lasers are coming towards you, you obviously know that the people who aren't in the corridor are trying to stop the lasers. Why would you not back yourself up as far as physically possible to give yourself, like, as much time and a space to potentially survive?
See, I'd be stupid and probably run towards it going, fuck this, if I'm going quick.
You are stupid, aren't you?
Because, genuinely, that's going to hurt like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he didn't have to do that.
Well, yeah, but I would just... No! I'd be more on the end of getting
this over. No, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Like, just go backwards and live.
Like, my fight or flight instinct is normally quite good, but something like that, I'd be like, this is... I'd rather it... Because you can see how slowly it moves, and then it speeds up. So I'd be on the, I don't want it cutting through me slowly. I'd just be like,
But you could have just taken the 2 steps back and it wouldn't have.
But you don't know that at the time.
No, but I don't understand. That does not compute with me. That makes no sense. Like, give yourself as much chance of surviving as possible.
I'm normally on that scale of it, but something about that just, it's a cool way to go.
Wow.
Especially the cubes. Like, I'd rather that than turn a zombie.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'd rather not turn into a zombie, but at this point in the movie, they don't actually know that they're zombies either.
This is true, so yeah, probably would buck up.
So, but you know,
if I knew about the zombie part, I'd definitely run towards the laser.
Okay, so you're saying if you knew about the zombies, you'd run towards the lasers and go out in a blaze of, I want to say glory, but I don't think it is glory.
It would be cut into pieces. And I'd be singing Cut My Life into Pieces at the time.
Oh my lord. Okay, well, moving on from that then. Are we in agreement that that's by far and away the best scene of the whole film?
It's worth like 5 points for that alone.
Oh, is that what's given a lot of points for you? Okay.
Don't worry, there's other things taken off. It's fine.
All right, okay. One of the things that when I was kind of reading up about this movie that kept getting brought up, and I'm going to look at this from my male gaze. all women who listen to this podcast have just switched right off.
I get told I'm the sexist one out of us two, so this is going to be funny.
Oh, do you? Who tells you that?
Many, many people.
As a man.
Yes.
This movie is very easy on the eye.
Like, even when Michelle Rodriguez is a zombie, I still would.
I was just thinking the same thing. I think Michelle, obviously Mia Jovovich is our leading star, but Michelle Rodriguez in this movie, god damn.
Yeah, she bumps the numbers up for me too.
Like, this came out in 2002, so I was 11 when this came out. So I was just reaching that sort of age as well, you know, where you're kind of starting to have like your sexual awakenings, and I feel like this was potentially one of them for me.
Was this your wank bank?
Maybe. Is that a swear word? Is wank a swear word?
I don't know.
I'm counting it.
Okay.
And obviously, you've got me.
Pretty sure wank's not a swear word.
Well, too late. I've added it.
I'll say fuck, and then you're fine.
Okay. And also, you've got Mia. Obviously, Mia Jovovich, who is incredibly gorgeous. And so, just I think from a male perspective,
she's got a big bada boom.
I think just from a male perspective. As I was saying, this movie is very easy on the eyes. I'm not sure Mia Jovovich, though, is acting in this movie is particularly convincing.
Not being a dick, but when is her acting convincing? There's not a lot of movies she's good in.
She's good in The Fifth Element, right?
She's playing a simple alien.
So she's good in The Fifth Element, right?
Well, it could be interpreted as good.
Okay, so are we just saying then that Michelle Rodriguez is the star of this film?
Oh, hell yeah. She's the main attraction.
Because the thing is, there's actual good actors in this. Like, James, what's his name that I mentioned earlier? Purefoy. Is it Purefoy?
Yeah.
Purefoy? He's been in a lot of good stuff. And he's actually a really fine actor in general. Not in this film, he's not.
Yeah,
there's a lot of really wooden performances here, isn't there?
Yeah. Like, there's some really, really bad ones, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not just from the actual stars with speaking roles. Some of the people who are playing the zombies are doing a really bad job, too.
Yeah, because, like, there's one point that the zombie looks at the camera and smiles.
Me as a zombie.
It's the equivalent of going, "Hi, Mom, I'm on camera."
Okay, so I want to talk about this plot line, obviously, because like we mentioned earlier, it's very different from the video game. So essentially, this person has released the T-virus, and, you know, they're gone into this underground facility, the Hive, which is underneath Raccoon City, which is obviously very different to the storylines we've got in the games. Now, I'm very much aware as well that some of these storylines will have came after 2002, because the original Resident Evil came out in 96? Was it 96 Resident Evil video game came out?
I'm trying to remember. I know I was young.
Have you been playing some of the more modern Resident Evil games?
Not really, no.
No? What was the last one you actually played?
I'm trying to think, because they all sort of merge into one for me.
Yeah, 96 was when the original came out.
Okay.
So I've played pretty much every single Resident Evil game there is. I think Revelations 2 is possibly the only one that I've not played. And I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of adaptation of 7 and 8 or Bioshock and Village at some point. Or not Bioshock, that's a different video game. We're all getting a TV series of Bioshock, by the way. Biohazard and Village.
Hi, so is there going to be a Resident Evil TV show?
There is a Netflix show coming, I think, later this year.
Oh yeah, I think I saw the come
up. There's a Netflix show coming later this year. There's been talks, I think, that we are going to get a sequel to Welcome to Raccoon City, although I'm not sure if that's confirmed or not. And we've also got a Resident Evil 9 video game coming, and they are remaking Resident Evil 4 as well. So there's tons fucking going on with this franchise. Absolutely tons. I don't know, like, what's your appetite like for more Resident Evil? Do you want more at this point?
See, I didn't until I watched Raccoon City, I'm not going to lie.
You liked Raccoon City, didn't you?
Yeah, because I was like, I'm bored with it now. And I actually, when I went to watch Raccoon City, I'm like, fuck, it's just an hour one, it's going to be shit.
Yeah, and I've still not seen Raccoon City, just for disclaimer purposes, but obviously I will be watching it in the next couple of weeks, because we will be covering it on the show.
I'd highly recommend it for you.
Well, I've seen a lot of mixed reviews on it. I've seen a lot of people out there really not be a fan, and some people be a fan. So, you know, that generally means that I am going to like it, or I'm just not going to like it, you know, or which I guess is how it goes with all movies, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I'm more of a fan of the video game franchise now than I ever was growing up. Because I came to a lot of them quite recently, rather than I didn't play them religiously like in the mid to late 90s and in the early 2000s. I probably started playing them more seriously around 2010 and onwards.
See, I was slightly pissed off because they were always hitting it, doing a strategy version of it where you're the Umbrella Corporation.
Yeah.
And they were always talking about bringing this game out where you basically built your facility and it was to see how long it would survive against.
So it would kind of be like a top-down, kind of like, you remember that like old theme hospital?
Yes.
It would kind of be a bit like that, but obviously Resident Evil version.
Yes.
I thought that
was a genius idea.
That'd be cool as fuck.
And they teased it so many times and it never came. And that's when I started to get like bored and pissed off about it.
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, I think that would be a really cool idea. Like, I would definitely be down for that. I think the franchise as a whole, games, movies, TV shows, whatever, I do think the franchise is in need of a break.
Oh, yeah.
This may be 4 or 5, not a massive one, because let's be real, it's never ever going to be left alone. It makes too much money for Capcom. Too much money.
I think because there's a TV show coming out and Netflix have got their hand in it, Netflix will either make that a gigantic juggernaut of a hit, or it'll just fade into obscurity very quickly. There'll be no in between in that whatsoever.
Yeah, because I'm just going through like the entire sort of timeline here, and this isn't even including movies. This is just the video game franchise. There have been things released for it every single year since 1996. Well, actually, sorry, I tell a lie. They released the original in 96, nothing got released in 97, and then Resident Evil 2 was released in 98, and since then, there's been at least one piece of media, if not more, released almost every single year. So it's not had a break in essentially 2.5 decades. It's had at most a 1 year break here and a 1 year break there. And there's been some sort of video game media. And even then, you probably had movies coming out in those years where there was no game.
Yeah.
So you're talking about this constant barrage of Resident Evil sort of source material, movies, video games. And let's not forget, it's not just about movies and video games. There are other, there are books, there are, you know, comic strips, there's a fucking play out there somewhere, I think.
There's a cartoon.
There's, you know, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So there's just been no let up on this franchise for the best part now of 3 decades.
Yeah.
Like,
that's just the staying power, you know what I mean?
That is. And, you know, it's made a hell of a lot of money in that time. But I think it's time we give it a break for a few years, right? Let the fans, and not even just the serious fans, let the casual fans sort of build up anticipation for something really new. Because, you know, Resident Evil 7 came out in 2017. Now, that is 5 years since RE6 came out, right? But in between then, you had Resident Evil Revelations 2 come out, you had Umbrella Corps come out, and I think you had a couple of the movies coming out as well. It was another 4 years until Resident Evil Village then came out, which was the latest. But again, in between that, you had the Resident Evil 2 remake, you had the Resident Evil 3 remake, Resident Evil Resistance. You also then probably had the build-up to Welcome to Raccoon City starting to come out for that as well. In between that, you've also got the comics and the cartoons and the plays and everything fucking else going on around it. So it's just non-stop with the franchise.
But the thing is, it's always going to make money in Asia. It's huge in Asia.
Oh, of course it is.
Massive. Like, that's where most of the money from the fucking films came from, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. What about the action in this movie? Because we've got a few fight scenes, and there's one, I think there's one moment that, again, is most memorable amongst the fans and the non-fans in this movie, is when she kicks a dog in the face midair. Because that's the sort of scene that gets like slowed down and played in trailers, isn't it? Over and over again is that scene. But in general, how do you feel about like the action in this film?
She's not as kick-ass as the rest of the franchise, to be honest. Like, between this and the second one, she's definitely hit the roids, is all I'm saying.
I mean, I kind of get it, though. But, like, in terms of, like, the plot, that makes sense. Because in this movie, you know, she doesn't have her full memory for the majority of this movie. And then in movies going forward, she's genetically modified and cloned in various cells. So I kind of understand that from, like, a plotline perspective. But I just don't understand. Again,
I just remembered the bodies out the back of one of the films. Yeah. I can't remember which one it is. So there's just the piles of her.
Yeah, exactly. But I just don't understand why, when you're making this film, you couldn't have just had your lead be Jill Valentine.
Yeah.
And have it centered around her. Not even that. It doesn't have to be Jill. I know some of these characters are coming later on, but you've got Jill, you've got Chris, you've got Leon, you've got Claire, you've got you've got a whole cast of characters that you could have picked. You know, we don't. And I think one of the things that also kind of annoys me about this, and obviously, the zombies, this is the thing, who's the big bad in this film, right? Is it the zombies? Is it the Red Queen? Is it the Umbrella Corporation? Because they're not really present in this movie. Or is it the Licker?
See, that's the thing with it. The corporation looks like they're trying to contain it in this.
Yeah.
They actually look like they're the good guys, which, if you've played the game, they're definitely not.
Oh, no. Everyone knows the main antagonist of Resident Evil is the Umbrella Corporation, right? Beyond that, you get more specifics.
Yeah, in this it fucking wasn't, though.
Because and when you think about it, the Red Queen, is she really an antagonist? Is she really a big bad? Because she is trying to contain it.
Well, see, that's the thing as well. Like, the body is what's his name? Our husband
Spencer.
Yeah, that's meant to be the big bad. That's meant to be the reveal of the big bad. You know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
But like that would be all well and good if he would then go on to play any sort of significant role. But you find out he's the big bad, and then he instantly dies.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a fuck up, you know what I mean?
And then, you know, anyone again who's played the video games will know that obviously the Licker is a creature that's deemed to be tougher than the zombies to kill, but the Lickers aren't the type of characters that will play any significant role in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, obviously in the second one is when we get introduced to the Nemesis, who will play a more significant role. Although I find it interesting that they brought it Nemesis and didn't bring Mr. X from the second game. You know, again, it's just things that I felt was a little bit confusing. Obviously, for fans of the video game, you know, at that point at the end of the movie where he's like, oh, he should be put in the Nemesis program, and fans of the video games will be like, but if you've not played the games, you're going to be like, well, that means absolutely nothing to me. I just think this movie was a whole muddle of just, it felt like they were doing everything they can to try and make it stand completely apart from the video games.
Yes.
From the fact, the literal only things that get mentioned in this movie that are related to the video game is Umbrella and the T-Virus.
Yeah, and the dogs.
And the dogs.
And the Licker.
But they never get mentioned. The Licker doesn't get mentioned by name.
Well, yeah, but you still see it.
Yeah. But I just don't understand why they would do that.
It's like somebody had obviously seen the parts that they liked, which was the dogs and the Licker, and went, I'm going to make a movie around that part of it, but keep it separate so you can have the games totally separate if this bombs. It's basically what they were trying to do.
Well, I think, though, this movie would have went so much bigger and so much better if they had just decided, you know what, let's just go to balls to the fucking wall stupid with this.
Yeah.
Let's make the action, let's make it super campy, let's make it really action-packed, not like we get in this film, because there's moments of action, but they're very brief and they're over relatively quickly. And let's just fucking go absolutely tits, balls to the wall, go for it, and have it just be this big campy thing, full of action, full of explosions, full of blooding, full of guts.
Saying that, every video game movie that was coming out was campy as fuck. And it was like that way. This went, try to be more serious.
And failed miserably.
I think it worked in its benefit because it sort of stood away from the rest at the time.
The only thing...
I'm not saying it's better, but I know it stood out because it wasn't going that way.
I get that. And the problem is, because it's titled Resident Evil, they could have put, I think, one of the biggest piles of shit out there. It would have still made money. This movie still made a whole pile of money. Hence why we went and got another, six, seven movies after that. The Resident Evil name pretty much guaranteed that it was going to do that.
Especially in Europe and Asia. I don't think it made that much money in America, if I remember rightly.
You may be right.
I think it made its money a stupid amount, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it made like half its budget back in its opening weekend in America. But if I remember correctly reading, it pretty much fell off a cliff after that.
Yeah.
Most of its money was made overseas.
Yeah, because this is a movie that basically wasn't for America, but they made it for America. And it seemed to work in its favor everywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Okay. Well, I guess I can sort of open the floor up to you, Nico, if there's anything else that you'd like to discuss.
Nah, not really.
Any particularly memorable kills for you? We haven't really talked about the kills.
I did find it funny how she's like, I'm not dead yet, and then
dies two seconds later.
A second later, she's a zombie.
I also like the fact that she gets bitten really early doors in the film. It takes the entire movie for her to turn.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. Like, everybody else is, like, fucking gone in seconds. Say not, they get munched on.
That's but, true. She just got a nibble on the hand, didn't she?
Aye.
She just did just get a nibble on the hand, so we'll maybe let them off with that. But yeah, there's a lot more wrong with this movie. But you know what, like, it's still not a movie. It's kind of like that thing, we've talked about this now for the last few episodes, right? Technically, this isn't a good film. But yes, it's still a film that kind of entertains me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to watch this every single week. But, you know,
you mentioned Doom earlier, right?
Yeah.
And look at that. That stuck quite close to fucking some of the stuff that was coming out around the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it just bombed. And you look at the actors in it, they're actually acting pretty well. Like, the main isn't. The Rock is quite shit in it, but, like, everybody else is pretty good in it.
Yeah.
And you look at that, and that should have been a better movie than this, but it's a lot worse as an action movie. Because, put it this way, they're not really horrors, they're more actions, you know what I mean?
There's
no real scary bits in either one of those movies. And you find a lot of the, like, that's why we prefer Silent Hill movie over this, because there's bits in that that is scary. There's nothing really scary in it.
There's no tension build in this film. In Silent Hill spends a lot of time building tension. There's a lot of really creepy moments in that. You know, you think of the scene where she's having to sort of crawl through the nurses, you know? You think about... Yeah. Yeah, the scene where she's first introduced to Silent Hill and you see the first sort of creature approaching, or the actual scenes of pure horror where Pyramid Head shows up and all those sorts of things. And it is, if you're talking about specifically a horror film, Silent Hill is a far superior horror film.
Yes.
So that's
what I mean by that.
And that aspect I agree with you 100%. But there's still just something mildly entertaining about Resident Evil. Someone turned around to me in like 2-3 months' time and was like, oh, let's watch Resident Evil. I still wouldn't hate putting it on. And again, I don't know if that's because I just like seeing Michelle Rodriguez on my screen. Because that could have something. That could play a relatively major role in it, to be quite honest.
See, the thing is, right, she seems to like getting into like movies that are linked to either manga or fucking like video games.
Yeah.
And even now she's like coming out with fucking, was it Dungeons and Dragons she's gonna be in a
I think so, yeah.
Aye. So like I'll still go watch that because she's in it. like The Fast and the Furious I've given up on now.
Nico's going to be take. If you see Nico walking into a cinema with a man-sized box of Kleenex, you'll know why.
Hey, I'm not a pervert. I'll go in an afternoon when nobody's in.
Anyways, yes.
Those 1 o'clock showings, you never wonder why there's always cream in the seats.
Oh, okay. And on that note, shall we move on?
Okay, I suppose we can.
Okay, let's move on then. Let's talk about a little bit of trivia.
I'm sure if we bashed your head in, all sorts of secrets would come tumbling out.
As always, we'll start off with the finances of the movie. This movie, according to IMDb, had a budget of $33 million and grossed worldwide $102.9, so it like tripled its budget.
Yeah.
You're right, it made, according again to IMDb, it made $40 million in the US, so it just about made its budget back.
Yeah, I thought it would be around about that. I remember something about that being said before, you know.
So you're pretty spot on there. Michelle Rodriguez actually demanded to be in this film. She had informed her agent that if anyone ever wrote a script about Resident Evil, that she wanted to be part of it. So when they found out that Paul W. Anderson had his screenplay bought, her agent would contacted him directly and she was cast.
Yeah.
So she pretty much demanded. And you know what? Like, I feel kind of bad because we've talked about Mila Jovovich and her acting skills. She did all of her own stunts in this film.
Oh, don't get me wrong. She's a great stunt woman.
I feel like I'm being overly harsh on her. I like, there's some, like, she did do all of her own stunts. I think there was only one that she didn't do. Apparently there was concerns because there were hanging wires that she would have to jump through, and there was concerns about that. But aside from that, she did all her stunts. Apparently it took her 3 months just to learn how to do that air kick off the wall to the dog.
Okay.
That's a long time.
It's impressive, and it's she's definitely elevated herself from being a model to a stunt woman.
I feel like these are the most backhanded compliments.
I like her. She's hot. She's got a sexy accent. But she's better off doing shit like Zoolander. You know what I mean? At least enough, she overacts it and she's actually funny.
Okay. Her character's name of Alice is never actually said in this film.
Is it?
Nope, it's only revealed during the credits.
Okay.
Which again, so I don't know, maybe she didn't have, but the thing is, right, so you maybe if you were watching this for the first time, I can't really remember the first time I watched this, but maybe if you're watching this for the first time, you maybe did have fans trying to guess that she was one of the characters from the games, but she doesn't look like Jill Valentine either.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if that's who you were maybe guessing she'd portrayed, she doesn't look like her, so, you know, you're not even getting it on that aspect as well. There was an original... Paul W.S. Anderson wasn't the first choice to direct this film, shockingly. Originally attached to write and direct, and let's see how much better you might have thought this was, George A. Romero was originally signed up to direct this film.
Yes, fucking please.
He left the project in 1999 over creative differences over the script, which then laid dormant.
I hope you did your clicker there, because yes, fucking please.
I've been clicking this entire time, Nico, don't you worry. The project then laid dormant for over a year before they finally got Paul Anderson on. And essentially, his script, Romero's script, did feature Jill Valentine as the lead female and was much, much closer linked and related to the original video game. And it was actually Paul W.S. Anderson who completely rewrote and changed the script. He said that once he locked himself inside his apartment for 4 weeks while playing the first 3 Resident Evil games back to back and became so obsessed that he contacted his producer to say that they had to make the series into a film. So he became obsessed. So I like how he loved the first 3 games so much that he felt we have to make a movie about this, and then made a movie completely unrelated to those 3 games.
But that's what he does though. Like, you look at the source material for all the stuff that he does. Like, Death Race, for example, that's totally different to what he portrayed it was going to be.
Also, just how much better would it have been if Romero had done it?
I know.
I mean, George A. Romero is arguably one of the greatest horror directors of all time. You know, you talk about the greats, you're talking about, you know, Carpenter and Craven and Hitchcock, and Romero is right up there with them. So, and don't get me wrong, all those directors had missteps, but I just think it would have been so much better if he was on board.
I know, and what? What type of film is it he's famous for again? I'm trying to remember.
Is it not vampire movies?
No. See, I think it's werewolves.
Is it werewolves? No, of course George Romero is famous for his Night of the Living Dead fucking franchise.
Okay, what's that based on again? I can't remember.
Based on zombies, Nico.
Is
zombies!
It? And what is Resident Evil about? Shit.
I believe it's about zombies!
So I'm thinking that this should have happened.
I'm thinking this should have happened too.
Fucking idiots. Right?
You always like... So originally, when that script was still the script, apparently in line to play Jill Valentine was either Jennifer Love Hewitt...
No.
...or Kirsten Dunst.
Oh. That definitely piqued my interest there. Like.
But there was a couple of alternatives for Alice as well. So for Alice, we could have either had Gwyneth Paltrow.
God.
or
Just put her fucking head in the box and walk away.
Or right? Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes, fucking please.
Who was just like everyone's fucking... She was like the darling of the early 2000s, right?
She was like... Yeah. That's fucking... Yeah.
She was like the film and TV version of what Avril Lavigne was to Boys for Music. That makes sense.
It did actually.
If it didn't make sense to anyone, reach out to us and I'll explain it to you.
I would definitely prefer Sarah Michelle Gellar
to Mia Jovovich.
I'm not being a dick about this. I love Sarah Michelle Gellar, but I'd prefer Romero and Kirsten Dunst, I think.
Wow, okay, there you go. So that could be our question of the day to the listeners. Email us at podofthedamned@gmail.com. What combination of those directors and actresses would you have preferred to have in this movie? Just a year after this movie was released, Paul W.S. Anderson and Mia Jovovich got engaged. So, read into that what you will, because there was then another 7 movies with her leading.
Well, I'm thinking he got his dick sucked, let's put it that way. The casting couch was alive and kicking back then, was it?
Jesus Christ. Moving on. When this film debuted, it had the largest opening weekend for a European-financed film. And that's what we were going back to earlier, when we were talking about, you know, the name recognition of this being huge in Europe and Asia. You know, the fact that it was the biggest opening weekend for a European-financed film ever is just mind-blowing. None of the main characters, we know this, but none of the main characters from the Resident Evil video games appear, only the villains. It's obviously revealed that Matt will become Nemesis from the third game. There is no backstory to the Nemesis in the games, so this, I guess, is filling in a gap there. You also had Jason Isaacs, who I think, again... was in Event Horizon. He was the Doctor in Event Horizon. I think most people know him as Malfoy's dad in Harry Potter, but he's been in loads and loads of stuff. Has a brief cameo as Dr. Birkin from the second game. And all of the sequels then would have at least one of the game's main characters.
Yeah.
Finally, now we've talked, like, do you want to know what the official body count for this movie is? Do you have a guess?
Fuck knows.
It's 88.
It's more or not if you count the zombies, to be honest.
That's counting the zombies.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised at that.
There you go. Nico...
That facility looks like it has more than 88 people there.
It does, but that's the official body count. So, is there any other tidbits of knowledge that you would like to share with us?
I'm still stuck on Sarah Michelle Gellar and Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, are you? Okay. Shall we move on then?
Okay.
Let's move on and we'll do our final section, which is the ratings and the reviews.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
We will, as always, start off with the critics' scores. Bear in mind, Nico, remember you said you thought this would finish in between a 7 and a 7.5. IMDb gave this movie a 6.6 out of 10. Metacritic scored it a 3.3 out of 10. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes critics scored this movie?
I don't know now, because I thought IMDb would be about 7.58.
An 8? No, IMDb never rates things that high. There's only been 2 movies that we've covered on this podcast that have gotten over an 8 on IMDb.
I thought it'd be higher. I definitely thought it'd be above a 7.
The Shining got an 8.4, Alien got an 8.4. Like some of the classics that we've covered. Halloween only got a 7.7. Reanimator got a 7.2. Elm Street got a 7.5. Lost Boys got a 7.3. You know, so like, IMDb rarely goes over 8.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes critics.
Critics?
Yeah.
So they're normally lower. So, say 4, so 40%.
You're going 40%? You're really close, actually. It was 36%.
Oh, fucker. I'm going to hit one of the no's one day, I'm telling
you. You are. Well, what about the audience? What do you think they scored it?
See, this is like very confusing because, as I said, Europe and Asia all scored it high. So if it was just them, it would be like in the 80s. But America would have taken it down by like 50s. So I'd say about 70.
Oh, you're actually even closer. 67%.
Oh, you motherfucker. I was going to say 69 as well, just for shit to giggle.
Just for comedy value, yeah. 67%. Critics' consensus, like other video game adaptations, Resident Evil is loud, violent, formulaic, and cheesy. I don't think it's that cheesy, to be honest. I think it's just shit. Well, as always, we throw it out to you guys, our listeners and followers, asking for some of your opinions, and you kindly respond to us. Ren on Facebook said he was going to write a much longer, more detailed response, but this film is a 5 out of 10 for me. It's not the direct game adaptation that we deserved. It's a fine multiverse version of the general idea. The gore, tension, and action is enough to warrant the random rewatch, and is the only film in the franchise that does. Much like the Saw series, this is another case where the first film is the only one worth a damn, and it quickly spirals into a mess after this. So much so that I didn't even watch the last two films in the series. So, not a fan of the franchise there. Movies for Days gives that a 6. Enjoyable and super tense at times, some very creative sequences, and well enough put together. Got too much hate in recent years, in my opinion. Not going to make any best zombie movie lists, but it's no dumpster fire either. Eric Malcolm says, I'd go for at least a 7 or an 8. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Saw it in the theatres when it premiered, and as far as movies adapted from video games, you could do a hell of a lot worse. Former guest of the show, Macd Allstar, gives it says, damn, so much hate. It was not that bad. I think I've typed that out wrong. It says, essentially, so much hate. I enjoyed it differently. It's a 6 or a 7 from him. Friend Boomer at the Podcast of the Woods gives it a 5 out of 10, but a really fun 5 out of 10. Queen Serenity gives it a 4. I like the main characters, but I was expecting this to be like the games and was a little disappointed. James Williams also gives it a 4. Disappointing after loving the game so much. Dissect That Films gives it a 5. It's a good time, but not a good movie. The series as a whole is bad, and our friend Candy over at the House That Screams podcast gives it a 2. This movie is just awful. Had great source material and then shit the bed. So thank you to everyone who sent us in. On average, our listeners and followers give this movie a 5.8 out of 10. And that just leaves us, Nico. Nico, on a scale of 0 to 10, what are you going to score Resident Evil?
See, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what I said, because I genuinely thought the audience would say higher. But they've basically hit where I was thinking. I'm thinking like a 5.5 type area, because...
Which one?
I don't know. Like 5 for Michelle Rodriguez alone, so I'll give the 0.5 for the rest of the movie.
Okay, you're giving it a 5.5. Okay. That's fair. I'm once again... Although we weren't in agreement last week, but once again, because we've been doing this quite a lot there, I'm almost in complete agreement with you. I don't think this is the worst film. I'm not quite on the Candy level there, because she's given it a 2 out of 10. I think there are some fun aspects to this movie, and from my perspective, I'm with you as well, Nico. Obviously, having people like Michelle Rodriguez on my screen is always something that's going to boost a film for me, so I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. I think this film's slap bang in the middle. There's still stuff to enjoy about it, but it's no better than average as an actual film.
Yeah. I would highly recommend Tomboy, by the way.
Yes, we'll check that out. On average, then, that gives the Resident Evil, given our scores and the critic score, a score of 5.2 out of 10, and means it is in 33rd place of the now 41 movies that we've covered. It's one place above House of Wax, one place below The Deep Blue Sea.
So yeah, I would sandwich it between them two, actually.
Yeah, you'd like a sandwich of those movies, would you?
Well, no, because I'd rather watch it over House of Wax, but I'd rather watch Deep Blue Sea. So yeah, that works quite well.
Well, it's funny. I just find it's funny now, because we've been back for, what, 4 or 5 weeks since we took a little break? Because we took a little break after the Human Centipede episode that we did. And since we've been back, that means 3... out of the 4 main episodes that we've done have ended up in the bottom 10.
Shit.
Because Innocent Blood came in At the time, 37th, it's obviously been bumped down at 38. House of Wax came in at 33rd, it's now down at 34. And Resident Evil's come in at 33. The only one that got up and out of there was Saw. Although, having said that, when I do announce next week's episode, I've got a funny feeling that next week's episode's going to end up pretty damn high on the list, but we'll get there in a second. We've just got one last section to go. It's our rank reviews section, formerly known as the Bad Letterbox Reviews, but this one is just now, I've changed the name, it's just rank reviews now. And there's a few fun ones in here, and there's at least one that I know you'll appreciate, but we'll kick off with, yeah, this is usually what happens after I wake up on the bathroom floor too. this next one simply says,
I just got a mental image of me rocking back before going my head.
This next one simply says, worse than Doom.
I wouldn't say that, but no. You're close.
Okay, this next one you'll appreciate. So, this movie is awful. Not I'm having fun, this movie is so dumb awful, but just plain shit. It's boring, it takes itself so seriously, and Mia Jovovich looks like Finn Balor.
just see that Demon King come out, yeah.
What a comparison! This next one at least references the video game Flatter Than a Jill Sandwich, which is always fun. I'd rather drag my testicles across rusty nails and broken glass than ever watch this disgrace of a movie ever again.
Yeah, can sort of get quite focused in that.
Best nipple I've ever seen.
Do you see nipple in this?
I don't think you see nipple in this movie.
If they did, they've got it on pause in a very weird moment.
I think there's potentially a couple of scenes at the very, very end when she's getting up and she's wearing that napkin.
Okay.
That you maybe might see a bit of nipple. Never knew that Greta Thunberg was modelled on the holographic representation of an AI system.
Oh, Jesus. Really?
And finally, I felt like I was gurgling urine this entire movie.
How often do you do that to know that it feels that way?
I think we should ask that person. If that person's listening to this and recognizes that as their own review on Letterboxd, please let me know. How often do you gurgle your own urine? Didn't actually specifically say urine. His own urine. So it could have been someone else's. And some people are down for that. Some people are into that.
Could be a bit of squirt for all you know.
Could be. But yeah, so that is going to do it for this week's show. Nico, as always, thank you very, very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me on again.
It was a very interesting discussion today.
It was a weird one. I'll hopefully remember this one, though.
Well, I would like to hope so, too. I hope you remember all of our episodes, but, you know, I would never, ever recommend anyone going back to talk about Innocent Blood.
I like it. It's a good feel-good movie.
So what I'm going to do is, I said the entire episode, but I'm going to cut it short now. We have been, over the course of this episode, counting up all the times that we have sworn during this episode. So that's it. No more swear words. We'll count. And we have a winner. Nico, how many times do you think we swore during this episode?
Fuck knows, but
it doesn't count anymore because, and the reason, the only reason I'm doing it now rather than leaving it all the way to the end for our next episode, because we did the comedically comic number of 69 swear words in this episode. Yeah, boy. So congratulations to Andrew P. Weston, who on Twitter guessed that we would do 66 swear words in this episode. So pretty damn close there. The lowest was 18. Dissect That Film said we would do 18. Boomer, who's been on this show, said 21.
Oh, Boomer, I'm disappointed in you.
The House That Screams, again, we've had a lot of them on as guests. They guessed 82, so they weren't far away. And a friend of the show, Galileo, said that we would do 287.5.
I don't know about the 0.5, but Galileo, we will strive to achieve that someday.
So I feel like we could potentially make this a weekly occurrence.
I'm pretty sure the Saw one would have been up there, you know, the fuck bit.
Oh yeah, the 3 second period where we swore about 15 times alone. Yeah,
yeah,
probably. So yeah, up next on the podcast. And the reason I said earlier I think the next episode is going to be pretty damn high up on the leaderboard, we're talking about the OG Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm going to assume, Nico, that you've seen it before.
I'm not sure. How does it go again?
It's got guy who's got he wears a mask and it's made out of some material.
Oh, is it like Jason?
It's like Jason, and I think he's called something, I don't know, like, he's called something like Corduroy Face.
Corduroy? It would have been better if he said Denim. At least it would have fucked with the area, you know what I mean?
It was the first,
Denim
like,
Mask Boy.
It was the first, like, clothing material that came to mind, and it was I don't even own anything Corduroy.
I bet you do.
You've
got a closet jacket and jeans.
I actually don't. I don't own anything corduroy.
That's a lie.
It's not a lie. I'm going to check just in case and bin it if I do. Don't forget to support this podcast across our socials. We're on Twitter at Damn Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok is at Podcast of the Damned. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Pod of the Damned, and email us your thoughts at podofthedamned@gmail.com. Boom! For the first time in weeks, I fucking nailed it.
You should get a swear jar.
I should get a swear jar. Just put a pound? 50, no, I don't think I can afford to put a pound in every time you swear.
A penny.
That's it. So, just so people know as well, I do have a second podcast coming up in the next month or so. Me and my friend Chloe are going to be doing a comedy talk show where we kind of talk about life experiences and a whole lot of stuff. So it's called Epic or Not with Chloe and Ian. You can get that on Twitter now as well, just at Epic or Not 22, and give us your thoughts on there. We're looking for people's stories about certain situations in life. We're looking for things like, am I the arsehole? And whole sorts of things. So we're going to be discussing them and having...
Sorry, I thought you were just asking a question.
Is that just always the answer?
Yes.
And we'll be doing some of those, and we'll be just having, it's going to be lewd, it's going to be crude, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So that's going to be coming up in the next month or so as well. So it's called Epic or Not with Chloe and Ian. That's going to be starting. We're aiming to have our first episode out at the end of July, but you can go subscribe to us on Apple, on Spotify, on Google. We're up on there already. Our trailer is up there, and we are already on Twitter at Epic or Not 22. Where we'll be posting a lot of stuff in the coming weeks as well. So do tune in for that as well. We'll be posting that across our social medias as well. So I just wanted to get that out there as well.
I've got a really important question on that. Is she hot?
Who?
Your co-host.
Well, that's not for me to do. I couldn't possibly say. You could go and check out the Twitter, because, you know, there's a photo of us up as our profile. It's cartoonized, but it's up.
Oh, so nobody will want to see your ugly mug again then.
Well, thank you very much. But well, I think based on your sheer insults, we'll have a new host next week. No, I think that's enough. I think people have heard me ramble on for long enough now. So thank you so much once again to Nico for joining us. Thank you to you guys at home for downloading and listening to this episode. And until next week on the Podcast of the Damned, just remember, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.